Welcome to episode number 20 of The Art of Med School, where we help creative minds understand medicine. This episode, we're talking about the pituitary gland, alcoholic drinks, and pelvic fractures.
All right, how's it going?
Just studying all the time.
Awesome.
All the time. That's what, like, I feel like that's what happens.
Well, it is your job.
School. It is.
It is your job right now.
It is. It's not like, but it's like a job that you work full time and then part time as well.
Sure. And you don't get paid.
And you don't, actually, you're paying a lot of money to work a job like that.
Yeah.
And it's even though you're paying, it's primarily spent telling you what you're doing wrong.
Mm.
Or not good enough. I love it. All right, so first thing on the list today is we're going to talk about the pituitary gland.
Grow up already.
I see what you tried to do.
I don't know. I tried something.
Okay, so you know what your pituitary gland is?
That one is in your neck next to your thyroid.
That is not true.
Dang it.
It's in your brain.
Oh. What's the one in your neck next to your thyroid?
Are you thinking of your
thyroid?
Parathyroid gland?
Me, no, no.
Okay. So it hangs below your brain. It actually hangs from the hypothalamus, if you know where that's at.
Nope.
Okay, it hangs below your brain towards the front.
Okay.
And there's there's a bone in your skull that is kind of like midline. So like if you were looking at a skull from the side and you looked at like where the cheekbone area is and like the eye.
Remember when we did that episode about Lafort fractures? That's all I'm thinking about right now.
Yeah, that's fair. So there's a kind of a deep bone that at the top has two little projections that go up like a U, and it's called the sella turcica, which is actually, I think, Latin for the Turkish saddle.
Oh.
And that's where the pituitary gland sits.
Oh, it's got its own little house.
It's got its own little saddle. In the sphenoid bone. Anyway, so that's where the pituitary gland is, and there's different sections of the pituitary gland.
How big is it, approximately?
I don't think I can say that with enough accuracy for... I mean, yeah, I don't think I can say.
That's okay.
It's
okay.
Small. It's not big. It's not big.
There's a lot of very small things in the human body.
Yeah.
But, okay, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just...
Well, but you did. So...
Just getting you ready for your... Whatever.
So there's two major sections of the pituitary gland, and this, I think, is really cool. So there's an anterior lobe and a posterior lobe, and actually, as they hang down, they totally look like a pair of nuts.
Okay.
And so there's two lobes, a front one and a back one. The front one is, we call it the adenohypophysis, because it's glandular. And the back one is the neurohypophysis. And what's really cool about these two things is that they're actually, even though they're part of the same gland, kind of like the adrenal glands, and we talked about those, they're from two different origins.
Oh, like embryologically speaking?
Yeah. So one is made up of glandular, the adenohypophysis is made up of glandular cells.
And is the other one made out of neurological cells?
Basically, yeah.
I learned stuff.
Isn't that cool though?
Yeah,
like how
yeah.
they wrap together and they're one gland, but two different things, you know, or two different origins.
Does it do the same thing where it like gets messages directly?
So the pituitary gland is actually under hypothalamic control. There's a stalk, like a little, I don't know if you want to call it like string or whatever, of neural tissue that reaches down and connects the pituitary gland to the hypothalamus.
Okay.
And that's where it gets its signals from.
Okay.
Essentially. So the adenohypophysis, let's talk a little bit more about the anatomy. The adenohypophysis, that part is split into three sections. The anterior lobe, the pars distalis, the pars tuberalis, which envelopes that stem we were talking about that it hangs down from. So it kind of reaches up and wraps its fingers around it or whatever. And then there's the pars intermedia, which is an intermediate lobe, kind of like a wedge that separates the two, the adenal hypophysis and the neural hypophysis. What's neat about the adenal hypophysis, too, is that it has no arterial blood supply. It just has, like, a bunch of different plexuses all around it. So there's little arterioles that go all the way, you know, through there and whatever, and all these capillaries inside of it. And the reason that is because it's a huge secretor of hormones.
Sure.
So it has all that blood supply to send stuff out. And one of those plexuses is called the hypothalamo-hypophyseal portal system. Try saying that. Actually, one of the things I really like about the adenal hypophysis is that it's just really fun to say.
Sure.
Adenal hypophysis.
Adenal hypophysis.
So there's this hypothalamo-hypophyseal portal system, which sounds really, really tough to say, and it is. But all it's saying is it's hypothalamus and hypophyseal. They have a portal between the two of them. And so what happens is the hypothalamic hormones can be sent straight to the anterior hypophysis to stimulate more hormone release. So that's that hypothalamic control.
Okay.
Okay. The adenal hypophysis releases things like, as you were making the joke, the growth hormone, prolactin. And that's actually, we know from what part of the adenal hypophysis is being released. It's from the outer side. Then as you go towards the middle, you have FSH, LH. We've talked about those before, yeah? Follicle-stimulating hormone and luteinizing hormone.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So really important for, like, your menstrual cycle, for completing oogenesis.
I always think of the pituitary gland as, like, the growing up gland.
Yeah, I mean, it does a ton of that stuff. It even secretes, like, prolactin, which is for you to make milk.
Yeah.
I mean, prolactin, it's in the name. There's a lot of medical naming that is, like, sounds really complex, and it just isn't.
And then there's a lot of medical naming that I'm just like, what?
But even, like,
usually those are named after people.
Yeah, I mean, there's that, but there's also, like, the hypothalamo-hypophyseal portal system. That sounds really complicated. All
but
it's
if
saying
you speak
is,
the language, if you know
yeah,
what the language
just
is.
Hypothalamus,
yeah.
hypophyseal, you know. Anyway, so FSH, LH come from sort of the middle, thyroid-stimulating hormone, and adrenocorticotropic hormone, ACTH, or corticotropin. All these are being released from the pituitary gland and in the middle. The pars intermedia also releases melanocyte-stimulating hormone. Like, that's a ton of hormones coming from something that's basically, yeah, it's basically the size of a peanut, really.
So you figured out how big it was?
No, I'd like... Okay. The neural hypophysis has two parts, the pars nervosa, which is the lobe, and the infundibulum, and that's the actual stalk that goes up and gets wrapped around by that pars tuberalis. A ton of neural tissue in here, unmyelinated axons in the infundibulum, where they're forming that hypothalamo-hypophyseal tract. So it's getting the information from the hypothalamus. And then there's also places where, like, those neurons or those axons bulge, and they're called herring bodies, and they contain even more hormones in there. There's pituicytes, which kind of look like stars that reach out and support all those axons, and they create ADH and oxytocin. I mean, like, all of this stuff is packed into such a small area that it's amazing how much the pituitary gland can handle, you know? What we're going to
talk... And how it differentiates when we need what.
Yeah. And so in a couple of weeks, we'll talk about how the pituitary gland does not handle some of these things, so we'll talk about disorders. But that kind of sets the groundwork for talking about pituitary disorders.
All right. Make sure you check us out on artofmedschool.com. We have a ton of more information, blog posts, any of our past episodes that you might have missed, as well as some really fun underwater photography that Mike has been working on.
there's some cute photos of fish. So check us out on artofmedschool.com.
Bills.
What is it good for?
Absolutely. Actually,
yeah, that doesn't work.
No, that's true. So, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the non-alcoholic beverages. Now we're talking about the real deal, Micah. The alcoholic beverages.
You're so excited about this.
Please drink responsibly.
Yep, hold your own.
Yes. So,
do you know how much money American healthcare systems lose to alcohol every year?
How much?
I don't know. But it's a lot. It's like alcohol is what is like the top complication in American health. Like the, what long-term alcohol use can do to you is absolutely insane.
Yeah?
Yeah, like folate deficiencies and, you know, obviously all the liver issues, pancreatitis, GI issues, encephalitis. I've met a patient who literally drank himself dumb.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, I still like beer, though.
I feel like I've met a couple of those people that have drank themselves dumb.
Yeah. Here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the two main... I'm going to say there's two main categories of booze, and it's rum and rum. No, just kidding. The second one's beer.
Yeah. You really don't see people drink anything else outside of rum and beer.
No. No, not very much at all.
Not that there isn't anything. It's just it doesn't really happen.
Yeah.
And consequently, I think it's a spiral because people don't drink a lot of wine here. The wine gets expensive, and since wine gets expensive, people don't drink wine here.
Right.
It's a what we call a positive feedback loop.
Oh, I see what you did there. Oh. So the main beer. We talked about this company when we did the non-alcoholic beverages, but is Hyrun.
Yeah.
And Hyrun is actually the word for what the native people, the Caribs, called this island before some French people came in and named it St. Vincent.
Right.
So, Hyrun, original name for St. Vincent. And that's really pretty good.
Yeah, I like it. I like it quite a bit. I like it quite a bit in comparison to my other options. I would be interested to see what I thought of it once I had more options.
Sure, like if we brought a couple of bottles back.
Yeah, would I still think it's good? It's light, it's crisp, it's a little citrusy without being like...
Sweet.
Sweet.
And it's real good cold.
Oh my gosh. And if that's something that I think they really, really try and pride themselves on here, like the various rum shops, is serving their beer cold.
It often has like little bits of ice still in it.
I had one the other day that I had to wait to warm up.
I know.
I couldn't pour it out. It was like a slushy.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yep. So Hyrun. They also, they're a bottling production company, and they also distribute Guinness on the island.
Yeah, but it's bottled locally, too, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, it's bottled and produced locally, actually.
Yeah, bottled and produced. Because it does have a slightly different taste than the Guinness I would think of.
Yeah, I agree with that. People, if they want to look real fancy, they'll have a Guinness in their hand.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a status symbol.
It is. I feel like I see a lot of people who wear Guinness shirts and paraphernalia in Calder, but not a lot of people ordering Guinness.
Sure.
I think they just take, like, the free T-shirt.
Yeah, like, I think that you get T-shirts, like, for different, like festivals.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So, Hyrun, it's really good. Their tagline is hold your own.
Yep.
Next up, the local rum company, St. Vincent Distilleries Limited.
Oh, we didn't want to talk. Are you going to talk about Carib?
Oh, sure. Carib is made in Trinidad, and it is also a beer.
Yeah, it's a little bit cheaper. It's a little bit lighter.
In some places, here in Calder, it's a little cheaper. In other places in town, it's a little bit more expensive.
Which is weird because they import it.
Yeah.
But so there's Hyrun and Carib, and Carib is, I think, not quite as good.
No, it's a little lighter. It's a little sweeter.
Yeah. So, like, that's usually what we go for because it's 3 for $10.
Yeah.
But
there's a lot of places that you can get 3 for $10 Hyrun.
Yeah. I mean, one of the grocery stores near us will even do 6 for $18 Hyrun.
I know. And that's, you're getting real cheap at that point.
Right? That's like $1 a beer.
I know. So, next up, we're going to talk about St. Vincent Distilleries
Right.
Limited. I actually had the chance to go see the way it's made. I'll maybe talk about that at some other point. But the products that they have is they have Sunset, SLR, Sparrow, Captain Bly, and a Rum Punch liqueur. And so we'll start with Sunset because it's the most popular. I'm certain we've talked about this on a previous podcast.
The thing that would be homologous, I would say, would either be Everclear or rubbing alcohol.
Yeah. Because, like, it's...
Or lighter fluid. Like, actually, we've used Sunset for lighter fluid.
And like, what's wild is people are... And so it's very strong rum. It's 86.5%?
Yeah,
84.5%?
So. I know it's over 85.
It's okay, so I think it's 86.5% yeah. alcohol. And people are like, it cures everything.
It probably does.
I've got the flu, so I'm just gonna drink strong rum and water all day,
yep.
and it'll help me get better.
Yep. They're like, for a stomach bug, I could see it because it would provide such a inhospitable environment. All that alcohol, it would just dry any bacteria in there up. Anything outside of that, I'm not sure that I can see the etiology of
it. I get a mosquito bite. They're like, rub some strong rum on it.
Okay, that might be true.
That actually, yeah. That
yeah.
can't get the grill started. Throw some strong rum on it.
That does work really well.
Yeah, I mean, it's highly flammable.
I keep an extra pint of strong rum in the car and just in case I run out of gas.
That would probably work.
Would work.
So, yeah, strong rum. When anybody orders rum in St. Vincent, they're talking about strong rum.
Yeah, it's not even a question.
Yeah, can I get a rum and coke? They mean strong rum.
Yeah, and that's one of the kind of wild things to me, too, is that all the mixed drinks are made with strong rum.
Yeah.
So that rum and coke, they're not just giving you a shot of Captain Morgan. They're giving you a shot of 85.5%.
That's two shots.
Two shots.
It's more than two shots because, you know, Captain Morgan and most standard liquors are 40%.
Oh, I see. Yeah. But it's one shot of strong rum, but it's a shot of 86% alcohol.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
And at that point, there's a reason that they say rum jumbies and there's rummies. Rummies here. Like, if you're drinking something over 150 proof, that's a whole different kind of drunk.
Yeah.
And you can see it. But when people are on strong rum, you can tell.
They get crazy eyes.
Yes. There's one guy in particular.
Man. Yeah.
Really, really nice during the days that he's sober. But when he's drunk.
Volatile.
Yeah. Odd.
Turns into a free radical. Okay, so that's Sunset.
Because he's negative?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Often.
Yep.
Then there's SLR, which is probably the one I see least often.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is a white rum, kind of like Bacardi.
Yeah, it's actually strong rum light, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like diet strong rum.
Light rum. Is it SLR or SRL? Strong rum light?
Oh, I'm not sure what it stands for.
I think it's strong rum light.
SRL?
We're going to have to research this some more. We're going to need 5 bottles.
Yep. And then there is Sparrow, which is a dark rum.
Yeah.
Aged for five years.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. I think.
It's really pretty good.
It's not a spiced rum. It's just a dark rum.
Yeah.
So a little sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like the SLR for mixing with Cokes. Because it's not quite so strong and it just gives a little bit of a bite is all.
Mm-hmm. And then there's Captain Bly, which is very similar to the Sparrow, but it's been aged longer.
I've not had that yet.
It's really lovely.
I'll rectify that then.
Like you don't need to you don't need to mix the Captain Bly with anything.
Sure.
Except for maybe ice.
Sure.
And actually,
that's the same with Sunset though.
But
you can't put it on ice because as soon as you put the ice in, it melts.
Yeah, that's true. Usually don't put it in a glass. By the time it gets into the glass, it's evaporated.
Right? We didn't mention the chasers for a strong run.
Oh, hold on. Okay. But Captain Bly, I'm still on Captain Bly.
I know, but we're past Sunset.
Captain Bly, in 2014, won Best Rum in the International Rum Tasting Competition.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I definitely need to try that.
Yeah. It's real good. But sorry, mixers for strong rum.
Water. The big thing is ordering a pity of strong rum, which is like
a half quart.
It's a half quart glass, and they'll have the whole big bottle behind the bar. You order, say, I want a pity of strong rum. They'll grab an empty quart bottle, pour some strong rum in there, and then hand the whole thing to you with a couple of glasses.
Yep,
and then you get a empty strong rum bottle, like it's been used, filled with water. And so you pour like an ounce of strong rum into a glass, splash a little water in there, shoot it, and then fill up the glass with water and shoot the water again. That's how most people here drink it.
It's true.
There's been a couple times.
But only in countryside. Like in town, people wouldn't do that.
Well, they wouldn't do water for chase?
Yeah. No.
What do they do?
They'll like get a mixed drink.
Oh. City folk.
I know, yeah.
There's been a couple times that, and I can only do this like once a night, that I'll shoot the strong rum without any chase or water. And it's pretty funny, people's reactions to, I think, this like white American shooting strong rum.
Yeah.
There's been things yelled that I can't repeat on a podcast.
I might have done an injustice, and I should have just done this as a strong rum only episode.
I mean, you've got three drinks on the list, and we've done most. All right.
The next one. These next ones are all kind of more fun beverages.
Yeah.
The next one is peanut punch.
Oh my god, I love this so much.
And you can get it. You can do, so I was considering doing it on the last one because you can get it in non-alcoholic and alcoholic.
Sure.
But peanut punch is essentially peanut butter, sweetened condensed milk, and usually rum.
Yeah. What kind of rum?
Sunset.
Sunset?
Rum.
Could you use Sparrow?
You could use whatever you wanted.
Because it could give it a little bit of a fuller taste instead of like that. That bite or whatever, you know. I love,
and it's creamy and peanutty, and
like it kind of replaces ice cream in a way.
Oh yeah, this would be really great on top of ice cream.
Yeah, that's true too. This, out of everything that we've eaten or drank here, this will probably be the one thing that I will for sure bring back, like the recipe, you know.
Yeah. I would say that the next one, which is a beverage called Nuts and Rum, is more of a commercially produced product of a peanut punch.
Yeah.
Because peanut punch is something that you make at home.
Yeah, and nuts and rum is good. It's actually really good. It's just not as good as peanut punch. Peanut punch was a little bit more peanut butter flavored as opposed to just peanut flavored.
You are much more of a connoisseur of your peanuts than I.
I kind of really love peanut butter.
Yeah.
But nuts and rum mixed with, what did I mix it with? I think all we had was chocolate frosting. So I took the nuts and rum, I mixed in some chocolate frosting, and that was really good. Like you do.
Like you do. And then last but not least is a Jamaican product called ginger wine, and it is... it's really good. It's sweet. It's sweeter than I like for most things, but it is like alcoholic ginger ale with no bubbles.
Yeah, I can see that. It's not for me, but you have been, like ever since we got to the island, until you left, like you rocked everything ginger that you could.
Oh man, I love ginger so
ale,
much.
Ginger wine,
ginger beards,
beer. ginger beards. Yeah,
I like that your ginger
little,
beard.
It took me a little bit to hear that. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that as soon as you get back, you're gonna. That's the first thing you're gonna run to the ginger beard and then to the ginger beer.
Not maybe. Yeah, because yeah, I love ginger, and it's nice, and it's got a little spicy bite.
Yeah, that's I could totally see drinking ginger beer over the summer back home.
Yeah. All right. Booze. We launched our Patreon account. Please go check it out. You can find a link on our website or just look up Art of Med School on patreon.com. This is a great way to support us as we work hard to make the most and best content possible. You can find more information on our homepage at artofmedschool.com. And every little bit helps. Thanks.
All right, so we talked so much about booze that we don't have a ton of time for this last one. Fortunately, that is A-okay. We're going to talk about pelvic fractures.
Okay.
I thought you had a virility joke you wanted to use.
I did, and then I thought about it, and then I didn't say it. Anyway,
now that we mentioned it, it's not funny. You still have to say it.
But so they say about the sunset rum is that it will help you and make you very strong, which adds to virility.
Right.
And specifically in virility, so we could have a Vincentian baby.
Yep.
And thus being said, let's talk about pelvic fractures.
All right. So we're just going to talk about some of the more common ones, or the ones that would come up. This one is more geared for the student. So there's the bilateral fracture. Okay, you can picture a pelvic, like a pelvis, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got the wings on the side, and you've got the rami in front, and you've got the
sacrum in the back.
Yeah, sacrum in the back and all that. So a bilateral fracture means that it's fractured on both sides.
Sure.
Like left and right. It's a pubic rami fracture. So in the front, it's fractured on the front part of the bowl. And then it's also fractured on the back part. So both sides are fractured sort of all the way through. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Can you give, it's helpful for me if you give examples of how you would get each one of these.
Well, this is called a straddle fracture, and they say that it's common amongst, cowboys.
Oh, okay.
But it could also be, a motorcycle accident where you go up and down and you hit with a certain amount of force.
Okay.
You know, that kind of thing. The next one, so it's a double break in continuity of anterior pelvic ring. So it's a double break is the big thing. And so your pelvic floor and everything can open and shut in ways that it's not supposed to. There's also the vertical shear fracture. It's a break of the anterior and posterior of the pelvis. So it's a break of both the front and the back, and it's ipsilateral. Have we talked about what ipsilateral means?
Maybe.
So there's contralateral and ipsilateral. Ipsilateral means it's on the same side. Contralateral means that it's on opposite sides. So you have the front of the anterior of the pelvis and the posterior of the pelvis is broken. And that means that on that side, the
a whole wing is chopped off.
Yeah, yeah. And this would be probably something like getting hit by a car. It's upward, so the force is usually up and back.
Oh, okay.
So if you get sideswiped while you're a pedestrian, mm-hmm. that could do something like this. There's also the lateral compression fracture. Which, so we said the vertical shear was ipsilateral. The lateral compression fracture is contralateral. So the force is coming from the side. Like, you're standing there in a car.
So they're diagonal. Okay.
Yeah, the brakes are diagonal, but the force is coming from the side. It's hitting you in the hip.
From the behind?
No, from the side.
Oh, okay.
So you're standing talking to a friend, and off to your left, a car comes and hits you.
Okay.
And because of the way...
What a crappy friend you were talking to that didn't warn you that a car was coming.
Well, they also stand. Like, it's on the periphery of both of your visions. Because it's like, it's straight to your left or to your right, you know?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So it's that same kind of fracture as the vertical shear, except now we're contralateral.
Sure.
And these are, like, super serious because there's all sorts of nerves and blood and stuff like that that can flow through. Dislocated epiphysis of the femoral head. Do you know what the epiphysis is?
Isn't it that, like, cartilagey bit in the front that when you have babies, it, like, gets real soft and expands so you can have babies?
You're close. That's a pubic symphysis.
Oh, man.
The epiphysis is the growth plate in the femur.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So this is like kids, right? Because the growth plate is actually, like, all cartilage. And so what can happen is if they get hit in the right way, that cartilage can break and the head will actually just slide off.
Yeah.
So it's not in line anymore. That's why it only happens with kids, because when you're an adult, that's all calcified.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it actually initially presents as pain at the knee. It's like a referred pain.
Oh.
And this is acute trauma, but it can also be repetitive micro trauma. So it could be sports and stuff like that. The last one to mention is the femoral head break. So if you break off the head of the femur that is, you know, then kind of floating around inside of that acetabulum, that socket,
the
part.
Ball that's in that socket.
Yeah. The problem is that blood flow to that actually comes from the other side.
Oh.
It comes from outside to in.
Okay.
And so if you break that off, you're no longer getting blood to that part.
The entire leg, right?
No. Just to the head of the femur.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
still a bad deal, but not as bad.
So you see that head of the femur starts dying.
Oh, yeah.
It gets necrotic.
Yeah.
So I know this portion was not incredibly interesting, but the reason I wanted to share all these is these are... hip traumas and fractures that come up often in MCQs and on tests and things like that. So these are the ones that I think are worth knowing.
Oh, okay, sure. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. All right, there you have it. Pituitary gland part one, booze and pelvic fractures. Thank you for joining us for episode 20. Join us next week for 21. Our theme music, Urbanimatronica Wuya Mix by Spinning Mercata, is copyright 2011, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. This show is not affiliated or endorsed in any way by St. James School of Medicine. Micah just goes there. The Art of Med School podcast is part of the Art of Med School Network. For more information, find us on the web at artofmedschool.com.